Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to see you here. We have several things, announcements going on, and things that are taking place. You might notice that, of course, we have our service now, and if you're looking, if you're at home, we do also have communion today between services, between 9:30 and 10:10, and there will be someone here. Pastor Riggert will be up here while the two of us are teaching downstairs. So he will be here for that communion between 9:30 and 10:10. Also know that tomorrow we do have that special service at 4:30, which is a service without singing, as well as masks are worn 100% of the time. And that's tomorrow at 4:30, as well as our regular services. Also today, the youth will be meeting at Schrock at 3 p.m., weather permitting, for the corn maze, as well as fire afterwards. Not in the cornfield, but in the proper place. They also have the youth. They have the seasonal yard work that I mentioned last week, that if you're in need of leaf raking or any light cleanup before winter, then on October 31st, the morning to mid-afternoon, they will be doing some work. And if you need that, please email, call, or see Pastor McCauley in person. There are other things that you can see that are going on this week, and you can follow that throughout in the weekly news. And also today we'll be following the order of service, which is printed in our bulletin. Next week we'll be celebrating Reformation Sunday. And we do that the week before it starts. It's the closest one. And then the week after that will be All Saints Day. The Lord bless you and keep you on this day as he now calls and gathers us around his word and sacrament. Peace. Sing hymn 810, O God, O God, O Light of Light, hymn 810. invite you to stand as we follow the divine service one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak the introit responsively. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare your steadfast love in the morning, to the music of the lute and the harp. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. How great are your works, O Lord! Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Father, your blessed Son called Luke, the physician, to be an evangelist and a physician of the soul. Grant that the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments may be put to flight the diseases of our souls, that willing hearts we may ever love and serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for St. Luke the Evangelist Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 35. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of the jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools. They shall not go astray. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and a time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. Pardemius, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Prescian has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychius I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all the parchments. Alexander, this coppersmith, did me a great harm. The Lord will pay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he has strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand as we sing the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way.
Behold, I am sending you out as lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and there receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, The kingdom of God has come near to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we sing hymn 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded. 587, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When 2020 began 5 years ago, little was known about the novel coronavirus, and much of what we did know came from what we had learned about Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, in 2012, and SARS all the way back in 2002. Coming up on almost a year into this, many doctors still are advising what they know to be true and work best with respiratory or vascular illnesses. Bed rest, homemade chicken noodle soup, lots of liquids, and staying at home. And yes, we are also relying on our vast knowledge of pharmacology and understanding of how these diseases work. Yet a lot does remain unknown. In the time of the Black Death in medieval Europe, some of those treatments included rubbing an infected person with bits of chopped up snake, doing the same with a decapitated pigeon, or a live chicken with all its feathers plucked out of its rear. Others included sitting next to a fire to drive out the fever, or to buy charms and amulets from the church, and even going to the priest to confess your sins. But if you were really wealthy, you could afford a potion made from unicorn or drinking ground-up emeralds. Even 200 years later, after the plague, when Europe was still suffering with these plague outbreaks, those plague doctors, the ones in the black robe with the wide hat and the mask that looks like a beak, those were stuffed with herbs and other flowers to keep one away from the bad air that supposedly contained the plague. But regardless of those treatments for this, it wasn't until 1894, almost 540 years since the first wave of the plague, that the bacterium that was found on the fleas and the rats that causes the plague was actually discovered. 540 years. And we're also hoping for a vaccine, maybe by the end of the year. Now, the point of comparison here is not to show how far we've come or how silly people were centuries ago. I definitely think they win the prize for creative treatments and willing to try new things, and probably also going to confession and absolution. But the point is that the approaches that all of us were taking, past and present, is what was understood about the human body at that time and what was believed to be true. Medieval Europe held that health was determined by the proper balance of the four humors in the body. Today, pathology relies on understanding clearly what happens at the molecular and the cellular levels. In the time since the Black Death, God has granted us a much more clear viewpoint so that we can understand what's happening. But even still, 800 years later, 500 years later, even tomorrow, there is still no silver bullet for our illnesses. There is no cure-all for our hour of need. Enter St. Luke, the evangelist. Today is St. Luke's Day. Luke is understood to have been a physician, a general practitioner of the first century. And so as a physician, Luke would have known what it is to care for people, what it means to provide meaningfully in their hour of need, to offer healing. Now, it would be silly to try and compare Luke's understanding of medicine to ours today. But what we can do is still see that Luke very clearly understood the difference between earthly medicine and the medicine of immortality. Whatever he knew and whatever he trusted to work about the needs of the body, that came second to what Jesus was teaching. Whatever Luke's skilled mind and whatever skills his hand possessed that they could do for a body on a temporary basis, That came secondary to the forgiveness of sins offered in Christ. The peace that Luke was able to heal with through the proclamation of God's word was greater than the peace that comes from a healthy, sound body, because even a healthy, sound body is still subject to death. And as we heard in the epistle lesson, Luke was probably able to provide both, to put his medical training to work and his work as an evangelist. More than likely, he was caring for Paul on his missionary journeys. Because as we read in the book of Acts and through Paul's epistles, we know that he was hurt and injured numerous times as he went about preaching the word. His care, Luke's care for people's souls, resulted also in the Holy Spirit using his hand to write almost one-third of the entire New Testament in just two books, the Gospel according to Luke and the book of Acts. Luke is an evangelist. He's a proclaimer. He is not one of the original 12 apostles. But it is in his evangelical proclamation contained in the gospel of Jesus and his history of the early church that shows that the great physician desires to show, to care for you in all your bodily needs and the needs of your soul. This is what Luke gives to us. In the verses of Luke's gospel lesson, he isn't even mentioned. And so we can see this great humility that Luke has written. He desires that the words that his hearer hears or what we read, they see directly the proclamation of Jesus, and that they see that this proclamation is urgent. Luke wants not to be seen. And we also see the urgency that this is sent out with. When the 72 are sent, they are not supposed to pack any supplies. They are not supposed to greet people, but to move quickly. Jesus tells them not to go door to door, but instead to go into towns and preach, probably in the town square. Whether or not Luke is one of the 72 or the 70 is doubtful. But what is certain is the urgency of reaching people's souls with the forgiveness of sins, because people are dying without this healing news. And when we think about this, the healing and care that we would provide for ourselves, whether it be a reliance on the best medical care available, or even healing the ills of society, like the cure of social justice, are cures that really are only as strong as we are, not very strong at all. All of these cures come with the taint of sin and are still subject to death. None of these provide the cure or the medicine that the soul desperately needs. When we look at our world, we see a world that has lost hope of heaven, that they see health and earthly longevity and even wealth as though they were ends in themselves. They see no need for a medicine that can treat the soul. And even if our current society, if things are bumpy now, the general attitude of our world is that things are getting better. We hear prophets of secularism all over the place saying, peace, peace, there is peace. Yet there is no peace. There is still death. We seek to heal ourselves on our own terms, and we tend to disregard the urgency of the message. And it is for this that the scripture warns, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able, fear not them, excuse me, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy body, both body and soul in hell. The 72 also are sent out as sheep among wolves. The message of healing, of the nearness of the kingdom, that God is coming near to his people, of a proclamation of peace with God, will either be received with gladness or it will be rejected. Even though God's laborers are sent out with a message of peace, there are those who still want peace on their own terms. And we experience this too. How many times have you or I labored over one soul, hoping that if we do just that one thing, that person will come to faith, start believing, and receive peace? It causes us a lot of anguish. But in the gospel, and we know elsewhere, that God has only ordered that the word go out, be preached in its truth and purity, and promise that it will not return empty. It will accomplish what he needs it to, and the result, troubling as it is to us sometimes, is not up to us. We are only to be humble messengers, traveling with a sure and certain cure. And that is the good news of the gospel, that it is that sure and certain cure. The good news of the gospel isn't that Christians are healing the world on their own initiative and power, whether it be through poverty relief, teaching, and training, but that the gospel is good news for body and the soul. The great news, too, is that God is the one who does the healing. It doesn't rely on us at all. We are healed through Christ, the great physician, because he has suffered all of the consequences of sickness and disease in his crucified body, in our place, on our behalf. And we ask ourselves, well, what else does God do with those whom he loves? He heals them. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Luke carried this certainty, this true and certain cure, all the way to his martyrdom, somewhere in what is present-day Greece, when he was 84 years old. Likewise, you carry this sure and certain cure all through your life, that God has healed you in body and soul. The message of the great physician through Luke is that the kingdom of God has come near, and it has brought healing. And indeed it has. You are gathered here. You are the kingdom. You are the ones who have received that healing. And yet we, even though we have received this, we still pray that it would continue to go forth. Think of the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And then there's Luther's explanation to it. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and leave godly lives here in time and there in eternity. You, dear Christians, are this message fulfilled, for you desire that the message of peace that brings healing would remain among you. Jesus heals us in our daily baptismal life of confession and absolution, and has thereby healed and prepared us for life everlasting, giving us the kingdom in eternity. You desire to keep this peace. And yet, as much as we would like, the world will never be satisfied with our cure, since it's hard to prove, especially with the tangible results that medicine demands. And it wouldn't matter if it came by a unicorn potion or a vaccine. Many people are hoping that the vaccine will be the silver bullet, but I also think many are realizing how many secondary complications have come and manifested themselves in addition to just the virus. Even still, you are called into the harvest to continue witnessing urgently and faithfully, and to continue being sent into hostility, knowing that the effective medicine that you possess cannot be proven satisfactorily according to the world. And yet it doesn't rob you of the peace that you have. Even Jesus had to deal with this. His own relatives said to him in his hometown, "Physician, heal thyself," basically saying that a doctor is only as good as he is healthy. But here is Jesus, the Son of God, an itinerant preacher, not dressed well, relying on his food from others, lowly and completely living his life on the kindness of others, the Son of God. The people in Nazareth couldn't handle that he was performing miracles among the Gentiles, and that when he comes to his hometown, he refuses to do it because he explains to them that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. They had the true understanding. They had the Jewish history, and yet they still demanded that tangible proof. And then they chased him out. So the messengers always go out as sheep among wolves. They always are going out among those who don't desire peace. So we can give thanks that Luke's gospel gives us the only account of Jesus' birth, the words which are deeply ingrained in many of our memories and hearts. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Luke's gospel is also the only one with the prodigal son and the good Samaritan. Luke's gospel also provides us four songs that we use in our worship: the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, Zechariah's song, the Benedictus, the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing after receiving the Lord's Supper, and also the Gloria in Excelsis. Sometimes we sing that instead of This is the Feast. What Luke records for us is the urgent need for a world to receive this medicine, to receive it joyfully from the great physician, for us to know that the Word has come near us with a cure, and that the great physician only gives cures that work with 100% effectiveness. And so what it is a great joy that the great physician uses physicians like Luke, physicians like you, to go out and to proclaim his message. And that as the great physician, he truly heals us in body and soul and proclaims the ultimate care for us, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us stand and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Let us pray to the Lord to open the eyes of the blind by the light of his word, and to open the ears of the deaf with the voice of his gospel, and for the Lord to clear the way for all people to know the riches of his grace, the gift of forgiveness and the promise of life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to raise up evangelists who will witness the gospel, for preachers who will testify to the mighty act of deliverance on the cross by which we have been saved, and for the Lord to bless his church and all the church workers who serve us in his name. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray to the Lord to teach us to trust not in our works, but in his word, for a steadfast faith to endure in time of rest, test, trial, and tribulation. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord to bless our nation with peace and harmony, and for the Lord to bless our president, governor, all legislators and judges, to those who protect and defend us against all enemies of our land. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray to the Lord to heal the sick, give relief to the suffering, grant comfort to those who mourn, and to give peace to the dying. We especially pray that you would be with Donna and Miriam, Elka and Archie, Keith, Norma, Lou, Roger, Emma, Carol, Hannah, Michael, Kira, Charlene, Barbara, Betty, Sophia, Larry, Richard, Kayla, Sue, Bob, Leslie, Ray, Steve, Donna, Ralph, Robin, Beth, Linda, and Jane. We also pray for those continuing with health issues, including Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Timothy, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Tabitha, Lavono, Jessica, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Shirley, Haley, Jim, Amy, or Emma, Sarah, Will, Anthony, Ed, Brady, Rowena, Chelsea, Ruth Ann. For those managing the effects of cancer, we pray for Marriott, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, and Jan. And those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for those who are our families and for those who have been wedded in marriage. We especially pray on this day for John and Mary as they celebrate their wedding anniversary, that the Lord would bless them in their love for one another and that of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray on Lord, on behalf of those who serve as doctors and nurses or medical teams and researchers, and those who work to end disease, and for those who care for the people most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and blood on the cross. Gather in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat this body and drink this blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of his Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, for the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and drink, you led us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, the ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Kind of sad to miss a nice hymn like that. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We sing hymn 589, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens. 589, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens.